Say it!
I don't have to say nothing.
Danny! Let Neptune strike ye dead, Winslow! Hark! Hark! Triton! Hark! Bellow! Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam to smother this young mouth with pungent slime. To choke ye, engorging your organs till ye turn blue and bloated with bilge and brine and can stream no more. Only when he, crowned in cockle shells, with slithering tentacle tail and steaming beard, take up his fell befinned arm. His coral tined trident screeches banshee like in the tempest and plunges right through your gullet, bursting ye, a bulging bladder no more, but a blasted bloody film now, a nothing for the harpies and the souls of dead sailors to pick and claw and feed upon, only to be lapped up and swallowed by the infinite waters of the dread emperor himself. Forgotten to any man, to any time, forgotten to any god or devil, forgotten even to the sea, for any stuff or part of Winslow, even any scantling of your soul, is Winslow no more, but is now itself the sea.
All right, have it your way. I like to cook it.
Looking up high. welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast, episode 233, the last one of 2019. And what a year, let me tell you. Yep, another one in the books. Who can forget all the memorable times we've had together? Yep. Game of the year, I don't know. Knights of the Old Republic. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com to read that review. That's the year in review. The Star Wars Celebration. I'm Absolute Deicide. The email address is podcast@gruntfreepress.com. Now let's take a few minutes to reflect on the funniest, most insightful moments of the podcast that happened in the year of our Lord 2019, as submitted by you, the fans, which I ask for submissions every year. So let's roll it. Good times. So how was everyone's Christmas? Did everyone get what they wanted? Fortnite vagina bucks or whatever the fuck you people use? Cabbage Patch Kids or fucking Furbies or Beanie Babies? A chemistry set that's just like a gallon of bleach and a gallon of ammonia and then a weighted vest so you have a hard time getting up out of the room. I bought myself some shit because nobody else was going to. Nobody likes me. But actually, that's not exactly true, because the Indian guy at the smoke shop down the street that just opened up that I go to every month, yeah, he actually gave me a t-shirt of his smoke shop, like an advertisement, you know, it's the logo of his shop on the t-shirt. That was nice of him. It doesn't fit, it's too small, and I think he gave it to everybody, so it was not like fucking, it was specifically for me. But, yeah, so I was my own secret Santa, and I got myself a new headset, a new keyboard, and, you know, some games, too, which we'll discuss some of them, now, because that's my gift to you, really, is, wisdom of the ages. Briefly, just the shit I got, the hardware talk's pretty, everything's pretty boring, but, so the keyboard I got is almost the exact same as the one that I had before, same brand, same everything, same setup. It's a Red Dragon, which I believe is also a brand name of dildo, that would have been an uncomfortable mix up at Amazon, am I right? But no, I would have been happy either way. So whatever, you know, it's the thought that counts to myself. And how'd this happen? Oh, guess one of these is going to my butt. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing too fancy about the Red Dragon. You know, it's just fucking like solidly made. I mean, the base is really thick, sturdy metal. I mean, the keys, when you press them, they're super deep and clicky. I was a fucking mechanical keyboard. It's fucking, like, deep. Nice and deep is the way I like it. It feels really good to use. You know, the only problem I had with the old one over the past couple of years, I dropped it. Obviously, I blame that on myself. It's not like the construction of the keyboard. I just fucking, like, flat out just, like, dropped it on the fucking ground multiple times. But, yeah, one of those times the escape key flew off and... never found it. It's been going months with no fucking escape key. If I did find it, I could have just fucking popped it right back on. It would have been as good as new. But I mean, that should tell you how well made, again, it's sturdy and fucking durable the keyboard is. You know, as well as how rough I am with all of my gaming hardware. It's just fucking like, yeah, I just drop shit all the time and, lose shit. Shit like pops off. Like, I don't know how many times the fucking sticks and the fucking D-pad has popped off my Xbox One Elite controller. I've had to fucking look around and scrounge for and find like 2 days later. But for whatever reason, never found that fucking escape key. I mean, that should also tell you how often I clean my fucking filthy room, if that's any indication. So the reason I bought another one, I mean, there's still, I mean, I can still use the old keyboard. There's just still like a little nub on there, a little fucking lever thing you can just press for escape. It's just not a key, whatever. Yeah, so this new one's like a full-size one. It actually has like a number pad. The other one didn't have a number pad. It was just like that part. It was just pretty much cut off. So it was just fucking, you know, which I like because, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not fucking sitting at like a computer desk and like fucking all like scrunched up. I'm fucking switching between a controller and all this shit and using keyboard to, you know, the keyboard to fucking switch back and forth between, you know, alt tab into different shit as I'm playing a game with a controller. And it's just nice not to have like a full size fucking keyboard in my way. I can fucking usually laying down on my bed, you know, 2 feet away from the monitor, you know, and fucking guys like stack shit. I stack shit on another computer. I have like an old keyboard and shit on my old computer. Then I stack the new one on top. It's a very fucking tight space. I'm doing what I can. So it's just fucking that little bit of like, I don't want like this big fucking thing taking up room and that I don't have. I've had keyboards before with number pads that I got recently. And I didn't really like them because it was too big. Like, it's weird. Like, some of the other keyboards I have too, were that I've gone through over the years, where it's fucking like, you know, it's just like, this is, it's like full sized keyboard. But then, like, other ones I would get just have like just random extra plastic, like 2 or 3 inches on, like, all around it of just fucking just empty plastic. And again, it's just fucking, it's like taking up space. So I was thinking the same thing with this one of like fucking like, oh, is it going to be like the same shit? But no, it's pretty, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just like a metal frame. It's just cut around directly. Like, it ends where the keyboard ends, yeah, where the keys end. So it's fucking like no empty space, which I like. You know, it's just a little bit, maybe 6 inches wider than the other one. Just, you know, it's fucking 4 keys by 5 keys, you know, just on the side for the number pad. I was figuring too. I'm like, I don't really, what the fuck do I need a number pad for? What the fuck would use that for games? But it turns out that some of them do actually. Some games do use fucking the number pad for them. Older games usually. There's been a few games that give like fucking, I've seen recently, when they give like number pad keys for like the hot keys. And you know, screwed me over a couple times. It's been like completely fucked me up. I know, like, Total War, I think to end turn in those games is supposed to be Numlock or some shit, or like it's not something like that. Like one of those fucking, I think it's Insert, which is on the fucking number pad or whatever, or something like that, or like maybe it was like Numlock or something weird like that to like end your turn if you want to do everything with like hotkeys. When you're doing like the campaign for the Total War games, it wasn't a big deal. You could just fucking click end turn. You just manually click it with the mouse. But, even like old shooters like Blood and shit, use the number pad as like a sort of like mouse type thing where, you know, you're moving like WASD and like mouse is like your fucking like look arrows and shit. Or something like that. I remember trying to play Blood and just fucking, it's just like, it doesn't really work. Like the original version, I know there's like an updated version of Blood, but, yeah, it was a pain in the ass trying to do it before. And I was thinking even like it might help in, like Mech Warrior or whatever, where your weapons are all on like numbers. You know, it's all fucking like it's like 1 through 4 or 5, whatever. But yeah, it'd be kind of cool to have that available. I could just use my right hand on the fucking number pad and it might be easier, but not really. I mean, I've been playing fucking Mech Warrior. It's just like, well, no, you still need the fucking mouse in your right hand to aim. It's like, I'm gonna take that off to use the fucking number pad. It doesn't make much sense. I honestly don't know if people use it. Like, I just don't know how fucking other people like use it. Like play computer games really is my fucking thing. I never really watch people play fucking computer games and look at their fucking hands. I don't know if they use like the row above, like, you know, 1 through 9 or 0 or whatever. People use that for the digits, or I have fucking no. I find myself like struggling trying to do that, like without going to like the, you know, 1 through fucking 9 above the fucking, you know, letters or whatever. If I can never get it quite right. So yeah, again, I'm like, fuck, well, the number pad will work. But I was like, nah, that's pretty awkward. It doesn't really work either. I'm just retarded. But at the very least, you know, once they have the number pad, it'll make tax time really fun. I can just type everything in and pretend I'm an old-timey accountant or something. So then for a headset, I got the HyperX 7.1 surround sound fucking something or other. I don't know the fucking serial designation, and I always fucking cringe when people are like reviewing or even just like casually talking about hardware, like electronic hardware, you know, TVs and headphones and fucking speakers and whatnot. And, you know, they're like fucking like, oh, you got the, you know, why didn't you get the fucking Samsung U5X1137HLMS? Oh, dude, that's way better than the fucking V7Q5*319v7 that you got. And it's fucking, it's like, did you fucking like just memorize like the fucking the SKUs of these fucking like whatever monitors and shit or what? I mean, I just went on fucking Amazon and just typed in 7.1 surround sound headphones and got the ones that had the best reviews and were around like $100 or so. I'm like fucking somewhere in that. I'm not gonna get like a super cheap one that's probably gonna be garbage, but you know what I mean. I'm not gonna spend like $500 either for something I'm gonna fucking break in 6 months probably. And actually, I got like the HyperX ones. They're also, I mean, which is funny, is I'm like fucking, you know, before I had that Red Dragon before. And then for the keyboards, I'm looking at like keyboards, and that was like the Red Dragon brand's like the top promoted brand now. I don't think it was at the time. I was just like looking through shit, but that looks pretty cool, and that was like the top promoted brand. So you have like the HyperX ones. I was like fucking like HyperX is a fucking, you know, you always hear about like Astros or whatever, fucking, you know, fucking Turtle Beach is usually the fucking pretty standard for brand of headphones. Then like one of the top ones was like this HyperX. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I look over, I'm like, oh, I actually have HyperX. Like fucking that's fucking a brand I had before. Those are still kicking around, my old ones. And you know, they have like the old like 3.5 millimeter jack, and I actually still use them for older systems that don't fucking accept like, you know, USB, but like most consoles really, if I'm playing like a console game that's gonna run through a TV and I'm running it through my monitor, and then I just like put the sound through my sound bar and then connect that the jack into the sound bar. Those fucking old pair, yeah, they still work fine. So it's like one of my main things. It's like, well, I know like the fucking the Red Dragon brand keyboard's durable because I'm a fucking piece of shit and I dropped it and it's still working. And it's also like, oh, these fucking old HyperX has been fucking kicking around forever and they still work. So I'll go ahead and buy another one. The only issue is like the volume control is on like a breakout box, like a little fucking little rectangular control panel thing, which you can like detach. It's still like a 3.5 millimeter jack you plug into the box, which again, I'm always like, well, if I'm kicking shit around and I fucking knock it over, at least it'll break away. You know, it's a breakaway box. Like, I'm not gonna fucking just like take the computer with it or rip the fucking cord out. Like that'll fucking just like disconnect from the box first. So the old and the new pair both have that. You know, on one hand, I like that there's something. I also like the way that, you know, that little box is like some weight to it. So I can like place the box like somewhere on my bed or something as I'm playing to like keep the cord out of the way. I can like put it behind me or put it to the side of me so it's not just fucking like dangling down and like getting twisted and caught up. I'm like tripping over it and shit. It's not getting in the way. The headphones before that I had didn't have that, so you know, I'd get like caught up, you know, it's like fucking this, like the cords getting like caught up on the fucking nightstand and like tables and fucking all this shit, going like under the mouse pad. It would fucking drive me nuts, to be honest. I'd be fucking like playing a game, like, dude, like the cord just like directly in my way. Like every time I'm fucking like moving the mouse or whatever, I'm like running over it, and again, I'm trying to like pull my head back to get a little more fucking slack as I caught up in the table and shit. I'm like, dude, fucking Jesus Christ, dude. But on the other hand, so I'm like, that's good. But also, like when I'm done at night and I'm like going to sleep, I'm done with a night of fucking debauchery, and I'm, there's cum drying on my stomach. I'll just like take the headphones off, and I'll throw them on the entertainment center and just like pass out. Is how I go to sleep most nights. And then the next morning it's dark and I'm fucking like groggy and shit. Like fucking like, oh shit, I always fucking sleep late. I gotta get out of bed. I can barely move because the cum has dried into delicious concrete by that time. And I'll get up in the, or I'll get up to take a leak and fucking crunch, you know what I mean? The breakout box is just lying on the floor because, you know, the headset's there and the cord's just dangling. The breakout box is right on the fucking floor. And I'll fucking step on it. I know I did that several times with the old set, which, you know, it's the same basic setup. And now, like, one side will cut out in the old pair until I, like, fuck with the knob, like, just the right way to, like, do whatever, so like both the fucking headphones will kick in, because again, I probably stepped on it 50 fucking times over the years, but again, it's still kicking around, so I know it's pretty can take a fucking licking and keep on ticking, as they say. So I haven't fucking stepped on the new ones yet, but again, that's because they're new and I'm being careful with them at the moment. But, you know, it's just fucking inevitable. I'm just going to fucking, I've already literally felt it with my foot, feel like the breakout box, and like, push that aside and fucking get it out of the way. But eventually, let's be like, fucking, and fucking step on them and shit. But yeah, so since they're 7.1 surround sound, simulated, obviously, as best they can with headphones. So what's fucked up about that is I'd heard people rant and rave about how good 7.1 surround sound is, you know, but it's like, you have to, it's good, but you have to make sure that you use, Dolby Atmos, and, then like right on that breakout, you know, the volume knob box thing controls on this new head, the new fucking pair of, headphones. Is that, you know, it's like, it's got like the Dolby symbol on it. You can turn on and off. And, so I'm like, all right, I'll make sure to do that. You know, I'm not going to be one of these fucking boomer tards who buys like a $8,000 4K, you know, top of the line TV. And then they just watch like SD signals on it. And then they complain that it's like, I can't tell the difference. It's fucking 4K HD. I don't know. And they're all watching like fucking like VHS tapes and shit. Or like fucking their cable box is just an SD. So there's like a Dolby Atmos app on the Microsoft store. And I'm like, all right, so I must have to like download this app in order to use 7.1. Again, it's probably what I've heard people talking about. It's like, oh, make sure you use Dolby Atmos. And I'm like, all right, so it's going to be this app. But it's not free. It's $15 to buy the app. And I'd actually seen it displayed pretty prominently before on like the Microsoft store or whatever. And I've ever heard people fucking talking about it. I've heard people talking about it. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I buy it thinking it's going to be this like, I'm like, oh, this app is going to be like this in-depth like configuration software that I'm going to be scared to touch with, like, it's going to have like graphs and sliders and like charts and shit and fucking, you know, X and Y axis of where each speaker is and fucking like tilting him by degrees and all this shit. I'm like, oh, it's going to be like this type of thing where it's going to show like fucking like all your ears and like all like the directional where each speaker is fucking pointing. But I get it. I open it up and it just says something like, congratulations on your Dolby Atmos sound system. And okay. Like that's all this is. And there's like a few videos on the front page or whatever that you see. And then I guess you could watch, like just watch these fucking like, experience fucking or listen to, I guess would be the point. It was just fucking like, here's a video of like lions fighting and here's like a waterfall or something. And that it, like, that's all there is in this fucking like app. You know, I'm clicking around on the menus. It doesn't look like there's like any options really to fuck with. It's just this, you know, little couple tabs on the top. I'm clicking on. It's like those videos or just like whatever, a home screen of this fucking like random crap. And then it's like, just like one was just like a fucking page that just says, copyright Dolby fucking like 2017 or something. So it's like, all right, now what? You know, it's just like, is the app something I have to like keep this open all the time, and I want to use 7.1, I have to have it like open in the background? Is this how it works? I have like no idea. Or did it like just unlock it on my computer? It's like fucking, well, you bought the app and now fucking the computer is suddenly capable of like 7.1 surround sound. It's like fucking audio DLC. I still don't fucking know. Like I fucking no idea. I mean like the headphones sound pretty good. I wish they were louder, but that's always a fucking complaint of mine because I'm deaf and I just never like fucking, it's like I have like the volume cranked on everything and just fucking like, it just can't go any louder. Like fucking, it can't be like twice as loud as it is. But it definitely sounds different when I press the Dolby, the red Dolby button on there, but there also seems to be a bit of a hiss like before and like after a sound will play when I have it on. Like I'll open OBS and I get like, you know, it'll be like boo-doo-doop. But you know, it's like something I'll notice, but if I'm playing like a game, I can't notice it. I don't know, they're all right. I mean, it's like, all right, look, it's fucking, again, it sounds good, I guess. It sounds different. Certainly didn't help me playing Call of Duty, that's for damn sure. I had a couple of fucking miserable fucking days playing that game, but, you know, ho, go back to school, you faggot kids. I decided to try a slower, more mature online first-person shooter, more of a simulation-type game than like an arcadey action shooter, a World War II simulation called Postscriptum, and boy, is that a lot slower, that's for sure. So I spent about an hour, I only played it, you know, not very long, just fucking like, I'll see what this is about, see if I like it. I played the first time through, I played like one match, which lasted, you know, did like the you know, the tutorials and played it, just jumped online for like an hour. I saw one guy laying in a bush. I shot him, and I'm like, fucking, you know, after playing this game for like half an hour, 45 minutes, like, oh, I finally see like the enemy in this bush, this fucking guy laying down, shoot him. I'm like, fucking, like, yeah, dude, my first kill. That's something. It turned out to be my teammate. Then like after that, a tank rolled up and parked like right next to me, and I was getting excited too. I'm like, God, he's a fucking enemy tank, dude. I can fucking take it out. And I'm like, fucking, like, am I gonna be able to take this thing out? Like, I'm not just gonna be able to fucking like shoot it. I'm like, all right, where are my grenades? And I sat there for like a full minute, like trying to like, oh, how do I like use like the mouse wheel? Like, how do I do grenades? Like, is it G? No, I'm not throwing grenades that way. And just fucking like, that couldn't figure it out. Then the tank turned to me and shot me. So, you know, it's about how, if it's a simulation, that probably is about how I would do in a real war. So, you know, it's pretty accurate as far as I can tell. So I go through this process every time I'm in a first-person shooter phase, like I'm currently in right now, just fucking playing online shooters and shit. It's like, I'm like, ah, this is pretty cool, but I think I want something less arcadey and more realistic, but more hardcore than even Call of Duty hardcore. And, I've gone through it. I've tried games like Arma and fucking Red Storm Rising. I remember playing like the Vietnam expansion for like a couple days and shit. Then it hits me that these types of games usually aren't very fun to play. Like when you actually play them, it's like, oh, this isn't, it's fucking like, oh, this is more realistic, I guess, but it's also not fun. You know, getting like sniped from someone a mile away who's laying prone in the grass, and then having to like, you know, respawn and like hoof it for 20 minutes on plain flat, or I guess like they're supposed to be authentic style maps, but it's fucking, you know, it's very little detail than, yeah, like the smaller maps have usually more detail in them and shit. It's like I'm just going like through like this grass texture, you know what I mean? Grass texture and like fucking nothing here for a mile. I'm just fucking like running to get somewhere. I don't know where. And the shooting and the movement usually doesn't feel as good as in the smaller scale games. The controls are a jumbled mess and clunky. You know, like in Postscriptum, you press the C key, and C is like crouch in most games, you would think. but it doesn't crouch. You press C and it affixes a bayonet on your rifle, which I don't know, like, where would you get that from C? Like, you know, like, why the fuck would that be the C key? But it is. And I don't know how the hell you would ever get into, like, close quarters combat in a game like that. I'm just fucking, you know, this giant, massive scale game, again, fucking, like, realistic, where you're shooting people from a mile away. It's like, I'm going to attach my bayonet and, like, run in. Like, when the fuck is that going to happen? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't played these games enough to, like, see that happen. I couldn't imagine how it would. So I'm not even saying fucking Postscriptum is bad. You know, you just need like a different mindset going into it that I have a hard time getting myself into. You'd have to, like, immerse yourself like it's your fucking, really your life on the line, and, like, care about your soldier that you're playing, who's still able to just fucking, like, respawn in immediately, usually after he fucking dies, and, you know, I'm increasingly, as I get older, I'm just fucking, like, I just want to press fucking buttons and, you know, buttons, and I'm playing a video game, and, you know, shit better be fucking blowing up every fucking 30 seconds. And I think, like, the target audience for Postscriptum in games of its ilk, I think it's supposed to be, you know, it's like, we're trying to go for World War II enthusiasts, you know what I mean? Like, these real history buffs and shit, and, you know, we're just like, I'm not really into video games, but this is like, so see how it was really like fighting in World War II. And that's not me, really, and the people playing that I was playing with, the one game that I did play with anyway, everybody seemed perfectly nice. Like, they seemed like they were nice people. I mean, there's a commander role that a player can take to, you know, his job's, like I said, to direct everybody on the team. And, I mean, you'd expect that that'd be a fucking disaster of an idea. But it would just be people just fucking saying nigger, like, every 2 seconds, and, like, kids screaming like you would hear in most fucking online games. But, you know, I left the fucking voice chat on. And he was going to be like, that's a thing, where it's going to be this guy has this role where he's talking to the team. You want to be able to hear him. And, you know, the guy was very, very calm. I think it was like some German guy, just, like, fucking, you know, very relaxed, like, okay, everybody go to the southeast marker. Pardon my fucking German accent. And, you know, and then it's like, fucking, all right, so, you pull your map up to see what he's talking about. And, like, all right, I see, like, it's a marker over there on the map. I'll head towards there. And it's like, okay, now if you need people to go to Z bunker, head to Z west, you know. And it's like, all right, and you pull out, like, the compass or whatever, and you figure out which way's west. And, like, okay, I guess I'll start walking west. And good, very good. And, you know, the people who fucking, like, who are playing, they seem nice and helpful enough. I kept getting, you know, these messages popping up in chat saying, like, fucking, you know, join our Discord server, and, like, hey, here's our whatever clan website, go there and sign up and fucking meet the crew and blah blah blah. And, you know, it's fucking not a lot of fucking, like, oh, you know, easy game lol and fucking suck it bitches and shit like that, which you would see in, like, again, in Call of Duty and all that. But, you know, I think, like, it's just like fucking, like, so, yeah, everybody seems cool. Like, this seems like a perfectly fine game if you have, like, fucking all the time in the world to just fucking, like, really just get into and fucking, like, play this slow paced games take an hour and shit. And, like, you have, like, no idea what the fuck's going on. I mean, I would have to be, like, retired before I had the patience to play. Like, I didn't even complete the full game. I was just like, all right, I get it. It's another one of these fucking realistic sim games, and okay, fucking, I quit out of it. I don't even know what the fuck the objectives were. It's supposed to be, like, some kind of, it's not just like a team deathmatch. It's supposed to be, like, taking, like, different areas and defending them and shit, and I don't know, dude. Yeah, I was just like this little fucking, like, cog in a wheel that's, like, kind of following my fucking, like, squad, and just, like, listening to the commander guy, like, trying to not die for a little bit, and, you know, just followed other people, laid down in some grass, looking at the clouds and dreaming of the glorious Third Reich. Because I was role playing, and that seemed to be the thing to do when you're playing as Nazis. So then I went and played something else to fucking quench my adult onset attention deficit disorder, which I swear just gets bad. It gets worse and worse by the fucking day. I don't know, it's supposed to be like some kid thing. It's like kids are supposed to have it when they're all like hyper and shit, but I'm just like mentally just fucking like, yep, day by day, just fucking like, oh, I can't fucking pay attention to shit. It's just taking too long. Everything's taking too long. This podcast is taking too long. I gotta take a fucking break. And I don't know, run around the block or smoke a cigarette and drink some more coffee. It's basically the same thing. When you think about it, gets your heart rate up. Yeah, even the RPGs that I play these days are designed for people with short attention spans. As a little Christmas leftover, like a package that got lost in the mail, I played Cthulhu Saves Christmas. I actually played it on Christmas Eve, and that bled into Christmas Day, which was a nice festive change of pace, sure. But much like, you know, when they release horror games or horror movies, they release it, they think it's like, oh, it's Halloween, it's a horror, we'll release it on Halloween. Or in the case of Doctor Sleep, oh, we'll release it the day after Halloween, like November 1st or something. This actually, you know, I was like fucking cigars. Christmas Eve was a pleasant surprise seeing that pop up on Steam or whatever on fucking December 23rd. It's like fucking, I had never heard of this, and fucking here it is. It's Christmas Eve. I'm just fucking clicking around. Ah, cool. There's fucking something Christmas related that's also like a sequel or whatever to a game that I know. Fucking Cthulhu Saves the World. But then, because it's fucking December 23rd, when I started playing, it's like, then I felt like I had to rush to get through it, which I did. I fucking played through the entire game in 2 days, but, you know, I don't want to think of anything jolly for another year, at least once Christmas is done. That's why, like, December 26th, like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to fucking hear about it, until around December 23rd again. Yet here I am talking about a fucking Christmas game on, I don't know, it's almost fucking 2020, something like that. So yeah, Cthulhu Saves Christmas was made by a development company called, I believe you pronounce it Zeboid Games, who also made the game Cthulhu Saves the World and Breath of Death 7, which I actually wrote a review of. If you want to check that out, I liked it. I like both of those games quite a bit. They're basically Japanese RPGs, JRPGs, like traditional 16-bit, what they would consider classic JRPGs, like, I don't know, fucking Final Fantasy, whatever the fuck, 3 or 6, whatever the fuck, around that era. but then it's like stripped down to their barest of elements, so you can play through the game through these fucking games from Zeboid. We'll go with that for maybe like 10 hours, as opposed to 60 or 100 plus. So I would say that they fixed what turns me off of most JRPGs, where, you know, they're just snappy. The story is told in pretty linear fashion. If, you know, you're not fucking wandering around these fucking towns and trying to guess which of the 100 NPCs in the town you have to talk to get the story to advance the next day or whatever, or what you have to do is just fucking, like, you'll have, like, no objective. All of a sudden, it'll go from, like, being, like, most JRPGs I play, it's like, oh, it's very just, like, step-by-step. Okay, now go here, now go here. And, like, you miss something somewhere, or they just don't tell you, and it's fucking, like, oh, now you're just wandering around, and that's supposed to be, like, the fucking game until you just randomly stumble to what you have to do. And instead, there's cutscenes or, like, dialogue bubbles, anyway, that you just, like, read through them, click through them, a couple lines at a time. It's not a fucking novel, like Disco Elysium, or fucking, you know, it's not, nothing like that. It's just like, all right, here's, like, the character. You know, it probably takes, like, 5 minutes to read through the fucking, this next chapter, and it's like, you just keep moving. Then you go to a dungeon where you level your characters up, but you're not grinding as you would in a JRPG, which I also don't like. I'm just fucking like, all right, now you're just at this part where the next part's going to be hard, so you get to go back and just keep grinding for hours, which, ironically, I'm doing in MechWarrior 5, but I like that. You know, it's not just fucking like turn-based, it's fucking like A, attack, 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 over and over again for 50 years until it's fucking like, oh, cool, now my character's leveled up 5 times, now I can go to the next area. So yeah, I mean, there's like a set number of battles that you can get into per dungeon. You can either, like, walk around and fight them as you explore. It's like not even like random, but if you want, you can just, like, whenever you want, you can just crank them out manually when you want. So Again, that's just like, that's a better system than in real RPGs where it's usually just fucking like, oh, some random shit. You'll be walking and then fucking like the screen will flash and it's like, all right, well, you're just stuck in a battle. You have to fight it. And it's like fucking, it's like there's a bar on the bottom of the screen that fills up over time. It's like consistent and you just see it just goes from like green to yellow to red and there'll be like an exclamation point over your head. And if you hit the A button and when the exclamation point's there, you can just, if you want to just like skip it, then you can skip it, or you can just go into a menu and say, I just want to fight and just like get, you know, do like the grindy battles out of the way. But they're not grindy because it's whatever. It'll be like 5 or 10 battles per dungeon you can do anyway. You just like get those out of the way and there's like, oh, now you're free to explore the entire level like at your leisure, unmolested. That also keeps like the balance in check, so you can't grind to over level and make the rest of the game like trivial because you have no life. You know, it just lets you know, it's like, all right, well, you're the appropriate level, obviously. If you did all the fucking battles, like that's the max you can do, so just go on. You know what I mean? It's you're not gonna be able to fight, just move on. You know, and then, you can explore the entire dungeon without being annoyed by the random shit, random battles popping up. And, you know, there is some kind of strategy to it where by pressing A to, like, skip them, you could do that first and, like, go around and try to, like, find all the chests that are in, you know, there's, like, these treasure chests in the fucking dungeons and, you could like get those first, and then you know it's like, all right, there's items in there that'll armor and weapons and shit, and like items or whatever that'll fucking like make it easier. So if you want to do that first, that's more like skill based or whatever to try to skip the fights. I mean that's not I didn't find that like really necessary. I was playing on like normal or whatever, and it was just like, yeah, it's pretty balanced. Like it ended up like a tough time. It seemed about right. So I mean, again, there's fucking just like, ah, it's. They took the time to crunch the numbers, and you know what I mean? Unlike fucking, again, it's like a lot of those JRPGs where you have like so many options and it's quote unquote open-ended. It's just, you can fuck it up either way where it's too easy or too hard. If you do something weird, and even if you do lose a battle, you can just restart it immediately because, I mean, there's still a lot of random elements in the game, which is another JRPG staple that's still in there, but they do it better. You know what I mean? It's fucking a battle that'll seem like unreal. You'll play it the first time, like, why? Well, I just couldn't fucking, there's no way I could beat these guys. There's too many of them, and I don't know what the fuck to do. It'll seem unwinnable. Then, like, you fight the same battle again, the same fucking item, same everything. All your characters are the same level, but it'll be easy as hell the second time because you have access to your most powerful attacks right away, which the attacks you have available to you are random. I know, there's a lot to fucking digest, but I'll try to explain it. So each character in your party has 8 ability slots, but you can only assign 4 skills that you know are going to pop up every time. Like there's like these 4 skills that you can assign, like these are the ones that are gonna be at the start of the battle every time. Is like this row in the order that you put them in, they'll be in those spots. And then there's 4 other spots that are randomly populated from any other ability that you've learned, which I mean, the other abilities you learn too is you're not like doing like skill trees. You just like, just when you level up, it just randomly gives you a skill or not. It's just fucking like, all right, well, you know, you hit level fucking 5, here's Cthulhu learned a skill, or Cthulhu learned no skill, and like the skill that you learned just fucking like randomly chosen for you. Yeah, when you're not in battle, you can use, when you're in battle, you can use each ability 1 time, then it gets like grayed out, so it's like fucking you use whatever fucking tentacle attack or whatever. It's like, all right, well, that's grayed out, you can't use it now. Until you rest, you have to take, it takes like a turn. You can guess one that's permanently there in like the lower right hand corner is just like, you just rest and like, you know, your defense goes up for a turn. You regenerate all of your abilities. They're repopulated. like the four that you assigned come back, and then like the four random ones will, you know, it's like a fucking like dice roll again, like which abilities will fucking go into those slots. Again, just like rolling the dice again. And like the attacks are all physical, elemental, or status effect attacks, or it's like healing shit, healing abilities, as you will in fucking JRPGs again. But it's almost like a mockery of that, because it's like fucking, you know, it'll say like, you run into, you know, you'll be facing like 12 enemies, and like each enemy will be weak to like certain elements, but it's not like you can really like plan around like fucking like, oh, there's a lot of fucking people who are weak to ice in this fucking dungeon, so I'll, you know, make sure all my characters have like ice abilities or whatever. You're getting like random attacks assigned, you know, it's like fucking, it's like half your shit's random anyway. And then as Cthulhu, like one of, like most of, well, some of his attacks will like make the enemies insane anyway. Like like one of the statuses is like insane. You do an attack, it's like, all right, this character's insane. And they're just like, changes their elemental, like what element they're weak to anyway, just fucking like changes anyway, like once they're insane. So it's just like this back, it's like this back and forth, like random shit's going on. So it sounds complicated, but really just fucking spamming attacks until everything is dead. And you might as well be pulling the fucking lever of a fucking slot machine, but it's still kind of, sort of, I mean, it's just fucking, it's like, you're trying to, like, tilt things in your favor as much as you can, you know. It's fucking like, all right, well, at this moment, this guy's weak to fucking ice, and, hey, this chick has a fucking ice attack, so I'll make sure that she attacks the one that's weak to ice this turn. That's all you can do. It's like, all right, well, now that one's gone, and you just, you know, just have her attack other shit until you have to make a rest, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a lot of just, like, random shit. So, yeah, Cthulhu Saves Christmas is equal parts JRPG parody and also like a love letter to the fucking genre. I mean, this story is obviously supposed to be funny. I mean, the main character is like a cute cartoon version of Cthulhu, who has his powers stolen by Santa Claus at the start of the game, which he wants back so we can destroy the world. Then he meets up with Santa's granddaughter, who tells him that Santa's been kidnapped and there can't be a Christmas without him. So, you know, first, you know, if he wants to get his powers back from Santa, he's going to find him. So he has to team up with her to rescue him, you know, if he wants his power back. You know, hence the title Cthulhu Saves Christmas, because in the process of destroying the world, he's going to have to fucking save Christmas. So the game is just fucking like chock full of Christmas puns and fucking imagery. Every chance they get, you know, they'll fucking just throwing Christmas puns everywhere. Anytime Yule, like you will, is used in conversation, you know, like the contraction of you all, they spell it Yule, like Y-U-L-E, you know, shit like that, you know, it's cute, right? And yeah, your other party members are Baba Yaga. It's like a teenage version of Baba Yaga. Well, I'm a fan. I'm a Yaga head. And somebody else, I'm not quite sure who he's supposed to be, but some guy from like Christmas folklore, who apparently beats up kids. So he's cool. You know, he's like, yeah, he's fine. He's getting, it's kind of like, ah, it's funny. He talks about like hitting kids in the shins with fucking like canes or whatever. It's like, I don't know who this is supposed to be, but you know, again, some Christmas bullshit. He's cool. Get it? Cool. Christmas, winter. That's about the level of humor we're talking about here. So it's very like self-aware, fourth wall breaking, you know, the narrator talks to the characters and tells them what they have to do, and fucking, and they talk back to him, and they all talk to the player, and they, you know, they're commenting about gameplay mechanics that it's like, oh, you know, we have to sleep every 5 days. It's fucking, it's like, yeah, it's a JRPG. It's where you have 5 days to do whatever you do like these activities. Then you have to sleep and go to a dungeon. Like that's how it is. You know, and so you have like 5 days between the dungeons to fucking build up your Rylationships, because Cthulhu is from the city of Ryla, and again, you know, the game is about the power of friendship. You know, they make that joke and shit. So yeah, it's just very like self-aware shit. You know, they call out all the fucking game mechanics. You know, it's like fucking, Fire Emblem or whatever, where, you know, it's fucking, it's like, oh, in between the battles, you're fucking doing these, you know, activities and fucking assignments you're assigning people. It's like fucking like, oh, you go to the cafe and it's like, oh, somebody, you know, fucking Baba Yaga is on assignment to find something. Oh, she did a good job and blah, blah, blah. She had great success. She came back with a healing potion or whatever. Shit like that. So that's like funny to an extent. For a little bit. It's just one of those cases where it's a comedy game and the comedy is one note the entire time. They got like one or two laughs. They got a good chuckle out of me, and then fucking say, it's like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a parody of JRPGs, and there's Christmas puns. I mean, you have to like admire them for sticking to the theme and just kept it going. It's like one of the things that a kid gets, like, ah, stop being funny, and then it's funny again, is for how long and how like they just keep going with it. But I mean, it's kind of like a been there, done that situation, especially after playing the two other games by Zeboid or whatever that have like similar shit, similar structures and like similar jokes and a lot of them, diminishing returns and all that. One of those, the graphics in the game look slightly more detailed than I remember the other games being, but I mean, the other ones were pretty cartoony. This is more like pixel art, detailed, darker almost. Like fucking, they just put more detail into the characters and the environments and shit. I don't know if that particularly helps or hurts it. I mean, it's not amazing pixel art or anything. It's not like fucking like, whoa, it stands out for being like really unique or whatever. It's like, oh, particularly well done. It's just fucking like, yeah, you know, just gets the job done. It's just fucking like pixel art, 16-bit. Looking pixel art, serviceable, I would say. Some of the dungeons are kind of blah. I mean, just a lot of repeated shit. It's like, oh, you know, here's like a Christmas village, or you're going through Santa's workshop, like whatever the theme of the dungeon is. And it all just kind of like looks the same, and the same like houses and hallways, they're just like stamped over and over again. And yeah, the only way you really know which areas you have or haven't explored yet, or whether the few treasure chests that are in the level that you find, if there's like, if it's open, I haven't been there. If it's closed, it's not. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep wandering around, I guess, till I see a chest or, but thankfully it's like, not like the dungeons are like too big or like mazy or confusing. So once you get like tired or lost of like looking for chests, it's fucking like, I don't know, I might have missed a chest like fucking five screens back, but I'm not gonna fucking go back there because I'm probably just gonna get fucking lost again. So you just keep going forward and just go one way till you hit like a dead end or whatever, or you eventually hit a boss fight, which the bosses in the game are the seven members of the Christmas League of Evil. From you know, people from like Jack Frost to Krampus and Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Future, you get the theme. It's a Christmas game that I'm talking about after Christmas. So you probably want to kill me almost as much as I want to kill myself, which is hard to believe. I mean that's pretty. I mean it's pretty much Cthulhu Saves Christmas. I mean towards the end of the game, I think the battles, even though it's supposed to be this abbreviated, like, quick RPG thing, I think even still of them trying to, like, make it snappy and shit, I think, like, once you get higher up in the game, like, the battles you go into at the end still go on for a little too long. There's a lot of poisoning and healing. I mean, like, the later enemies all seem to be weak to poison, so you're using like the one party member who has like poison and like attacks you can do every fucking time. It's like one of the ones you can, abilities you can assign to her is to poison people. And then you put equipment on her to fucking like buffer her poison attacks. It's like, all right, well, all these, there's like fucking eight enemies. They're all fucking weak to poison. So I'm just going to keep fucking using her with that ability, then having a rest and using it again. You know, then you're just kind of like waiting for them to fucking die slowly over time, and then you're like healing yourself from the damage that they're doing to you. I mean, which kind of that kind of makes sense in a game where you're playing as Cthulhu, I guess, where you're the one being a dick, like poisoning everybody, like as opposed to like most JRPGs, where it's like, dude, it's such a pain in the ass getting this, like, getting these like status effects and getting poisoned and all and shit. It's like, well, no, I'm the one being a dick to like these fucking, you know, fucking NPCs, like the enemies and shit. It's fucking like, oh, I'm gonna fight like a piece of shit, and just fucking, I just keep poisoning you and just like waiting you out while you die. I just wish it didn't take like 10 minutes to finish some of the fucking late game battles. Like, that's it's like fucking like, all right, well, again, I was like, fucking, it's like, oh, this quick RPG I can blow through. And it's like, oh, I've been fighting this. And it's like, oh, I just, that fight lasted like fucking 10 minutes. And there's like 12 of them I have to do in this fucking dungeon. That kind of like wears out his welcome a little bit. So the game's all right for a Christmas JRPG comedy satire thing that you can finish fairly quickly, comparatively quickly. It ties into Cthulhu Saves the World at the end. Spoiler, I guess, if you want to play this at Christmas time next year, but I think it's supposed to be like a surprise prequel. Like the end of the game is just fucking the beginning of Cthulhu Saves the World. But, you know, as much as I like that game, and again, I like fucking Breath of Fire a lot, it's just like, those were cute indie games that were pretty original when they came out, you know, fucking before people were officially sick of fucking like indie games. Like, it was one of the, I remember it was like one of the first like Xbox Live indie games. I remember playing it on there. Yeah, just like stood out of like, oh, it's pretty fucking cool. It's a good idea of just having this abbreviated JRPG thing. That alone is like, oh, and it's pretty funny and fucking whatever. It's pretty good gameplay. But yeah, it feels like they're going back to the well a few times too many. Like I don't know, like selling out maybe, that might be a little too harsh, but you know, it's like fucking, I saw, I'm like, oh, this game fucking Cthulhu Saves Christmas came out. I remember fucking Cthulhu Saves the World and fucking Breath of Fire and shit. It, you know, it definitely fucking shaked a small, nostalgia icicle in my brain. It's like fucking like, oh, I know those guys put out another game. It's like, yeah, it's a surprise and fucking, oh, it must be different and creative. And then I stopped playing. It's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of more of the same shit. You know, they probably made, I'd have to go back and compare them, but I'm like, ah, I'm pretty sure they probably tweaked the, you know, the fucking systems and made them better and shit, and improvements here and there. It's like, fucking, ah, it's fine. You know, it's fucking, it's like, I played it. I'm like, ah, I wouldn't, hey, I'm not like fucking like head over heels in love with it or whatever. It's like, ah, it's kind of cool. You know, again, I wish it was, it's like fucking, I almost wish it was like half the length that it was. You know what I mean? Just as like a little seasonal thing of just fucking like, oh, it's a Christmas game you can play really quickly. And you know, it's like, all right, it's over in like 5 hours, but I played it for like 10. But again, it's okay. Kind of like how my career leading a band of mercenaries in Mech Warrior 5: Mercenaries is going. I wouldn't say it's going swimmingly, but there has been some progress, slow, meticulous progress. So the key to being a mercenary, a Mech Warrior 5 mercenary, is that even though you are supposed to be a mercenary, just like a fucking soldier for hire, a pilot for hire, what you should do is just play favorites with the factions. Like, pick a side in all the wars and like stick with them, you know, get that faction rep up with them. So that then you can make some real scratch by using more negotiation points for money or salvage, and then you can buy more expensive mechs and weapons at a discount in any areas of the factions that you're trying to boost up or that they control. It's like fucking, it's like, oh, you get more money from them and you're getting fucking discount in their fucking shops. So, you know, it all like snowballs like Christmas time. So yeah, MechWarrior is one of those games where you feel like you're playing it wrong. Like when you're playing it, like you must be missing something. So you start watching YouTube tutorial videos, and most of the tips and tricks that are on there are just like real basic shit. Like nobody has like fucking like the answer. I don't think the fucking like, oh, it just makes it easier. It's just fucking like, oh, here's some tips and tricks and shit. It's like, you know, go to the industrial hubs to repair your mechs and use your pilots in mechs that match their stats. So if the pilots have like a high laser stat, they do more damage with laser weapons. So guess what? You put the fucking laser pilots in the laser mechs, and you should probably do that. I kind of got all that shit on my own. Like, that wasn't very difficult to figure out. But the most common tip is, the friendly AI in the game kind of sucks. So there's really not much you can do about that. Besides, you can play the game in co-op mode, which I bet would be a little bit more fun, I would think. More productive and probably a little bit easier. I can't believe there's no, like, competitive PvP. Like, it seems like a game that would be fucking a blast to play on PvP. I know there's, like, Mech Warrior Online or whatever. But that's, like, an older game that people don't seem to really like for whatever reason. But, you know, it's like, this game would be cool if you could play fucking online, I think. Some kind of like deathmatch or even like a attack and defend, like tower defense type thing. It was like, there's a lot of potential there. So I mean, I've watched plenty of fucking tutorial videos on how to make friends that you would want to try to fucking make friends in real life to play games with you. And those have helped me even less than the fucking Mech Warrior videos. And, you know, you'd have to have also make friends who enjoy playing Mech Warrior game, so who would want to hang out with those fucking nerds? So it really is quite the conundrum I'm in. So to get granular and nerdy about it, so the best tip I found is that you can do buy up all the hero mechs that are in the game. And most of those have double heat sinks in them. I know, it's really, I told you it's going to be fucking, yeah, so they have double heat sinks in them. So you strip those out of the mechs, then you resell the mechs with them, all like that shit stripped out of them. So you're just pretty much paying for the fucking heat sinks. Because, you know, you'll see these fucking like super expensive fucking hero mechs that you're probably not going to use, just fucking based on like, this is like a small, like light mech that's going to get fucking destroyed. I'm not going to spend 5 million fucking credits on like light spider or fucking like urban max or whatever. But yeah, those double heat sinks are like gold, so they weigh 1 ton, which is the same as a single heat sink, which is just like the common one that you find or buy. But the double ones will cool you down twice as fast, which is really the major issue later in the game when you're in these mechs that are like absolutely fucking, you know, these are like the high ton, like 100 ton mechs that are just like strapped with weapons everywhere, and you're facing more enemies at a time that also take more hits to kill. So you do want the fucking standard the battle tech fucking mech warrior thing, mech assault, everything, where you're just fucking like spamming like every weapon available to you as fast as possible to fucking like try to do as much damage as possible. And what you do is like doing it as soon as they cool down is fucking like spam, 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 like trying to like get rid of the fucking like weapons of everything, you know, or it's just a fucking chaos going on. So you're doing that with you're gonna end up fucking overheating. It's like the main issue you're gonna face. So I think the guy who does those fucking Mech Warrior videos I've been watching is like the same guy who was playing the commander role in Postscriptum, where it's like, here you have the Zicada Model H3. It has 5 double heat sinks. And then you have a Firestarter Model F4. And that one has 8 double heat sinks. You know, fucking God bless that guy, really. He's a fucking hero of the internet. So yeah, it's just been this like steady, slow but steady like march towards the furthest reaches of known space. And then I'll hit missions that become a little too difficult, and I'll make a strategic retreat back to the easier territory where I can just stomp through some, war zone or defend contracts that are lower difficulty, and just get my cash reserves back up, buy a better mech, venture further out. So yeah, I mean, like, I'm having fun with it, but I will say, yeah, Mech Warrior 5 is more of a lifestyle than a game, really. You really gotta be into it, be into it for the long haul, which I am. I'll be a fucking Mech Warrior for life. But speaking of lifestyles, I'm heading out to a ski resort in the morning. Why? I don't know exactly. Some fucking family bullshit from my sister that I I haven't fucking like skied in about 20 years, and I wasn't particularly fond of it back then, and not really looking forward to it now. Or I'm not really fond of any other physical activities, as you may have gathered. You know, at first I was like fucking like, ah, you're going to the fucking ski resort for the weekend. I'm like fucking like, ah, that'll be, you know, I'll go for the entire weekend. It'll be a nice fucking change of pace, change of scenery. Force myself to do like outdoor activities, and yeah, now the time has come. It's fucking, most of my family went up there fucking yesterday morning, and I'm still like fucking like, oh, maybe I'll go up there Saturday morning. I mean, by morning I mean when I get up, you know. Fucking, I don't know. I have like jack shit for winter clothes. I'm going to a snowy mountain and wearing like jeans and steel toed sneakers and a hoodie. It's basically all the clothes that I own. I'm not paying fucking hundreds of fucking dollars for lift tickets and skis and like renting like ski boots, but probably shitty. When I was in fucking high school, I did that. And like fucking, it's like, oh, I go like halfway down the mountain, and then like the fucking ski boots just fucking like pop off. The skis would pop off if they're fucking cheap pieces of garbage. All that bullshit. So, and then like freeze my ass off and be fucking miserable. I can be fucking miserable and an awful person. I can do that here where it's warm, where it's nice and toasty inside my fucking mech. But whatever, I'm going up there for a day and a night, so I don't have to fucking hear about it for the rest of my life. And that's why this show is a little early now, and that's why it's a little shittier than usual. And, you know, if there's no show next week, it's because I died in a fucking tubing incident. So tell the world, you can tell my mercenary crew to go on without me and keep helping fucking host Mavic. Then you can tell them to go to gruntfreepress.com and email podcast@gruntfreepress.com and tell them I'm absolute deicide. And most importantly, tell them to go fuck themselves. Goddamn fucking holidays. They never end. They get fucking longer every goddamn year. The years get shorter, but the fucking holiday season just gets fucking longer and longer. Until it'll just be one long, year-long fucking holiday. And then I'll know I finally made it into fucking hell.
Ah!